Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to your everyday life. I wanted to give a quick content warning for this week's episode. We are talking with someone about their story, and they had something very traumatic happen to them early in life. We don't dwell on it for a long time, but we wanted to put a warning out so you don't accidentally hear something that causes distress. So without any further ado, here is this week's episode. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I'm Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with...
I'm Darren.
Darren's laughing.
Hey, I'm Tom Regan.
Tom's not laughing.
Darren Larson.
Yeah, there you go.
Like Bond. James Bond.
Like Cher.
Like Cher. It's just one
you're
name.
You're just Darren.
I'm just Darren.
You're just Dare.
Yeah. Ichiro. Actually, I'm Dare Bear, as the students at Imprint Church call me now.
You're welcome.
It's and Ben Izzard invented a new game that is going to be played called Truth or Dare Bear.
I really want to know what that's about.
Yes.
I don't.
I'm going to try not to be there that night.
Well, it's a lovely day here at the Imprint studio. What are we doing right now? Darren, Tom, what are we talking about?
Talking about lampstands.
What are lampstands?
Well, in the book of Revelation, thanks for asking, Rex, in chapter 1, Jesus walks among the lampstands, which are the churches, which represent the churches. And so we have a desire to be aware of and invite in stories from friends, pastor friends of ours in this series, to tell us about what Jesus is doing in their church, what he's done in their life and ministry. And just as a way of encouraging us to remember that the Lord is at work in all his people, which is, you know, spans the lands of the globe, but here in our region as well. And so we thought it would be cool to have this series called Lampstands and listen to stories from ministry friends of ours.
That's right. So why are we doing this right now in particular?
To build unity. I mean, there's a real sense of division amongst our country and probably really the church as well, which is super unfortunate. I mean, Jesus prays himself in John 17 that we'd be one, right? I mean, this is kind of his prayer for us. And so maybe this is a bit of like trying to answer that prayer, you know, like being a part of that. And so saying like, we are going to fight for being together and serving, you know, Jesus-centered, gospel-focused churches and try our best to, create an environment where we trust each other and go with each other and go forward with a kingdom-minded purpose.
Yeah, and what better way to do that than to, like, celebrate what God is doing elsewhere and not get, like, just so focused on what we're doing that we think, well, no one else is doing anything right. Yeah, God's at work everywhere, and it's good to remember that. So to that end, we have a very special guest with us today. Very special guest. Who are you?
I am the most special. Aaron Paul Day. People sometimes just call me Aaron.
Really? That's what I called
you're
you
You're a one-name guy. So yeah, too.
He did it's jazz hands right before he spoke, which is amazing.
There's no jazz hand sound we can put
he
in.
He also, just so you guys know, did a beatbox before we started recording.
He did. I wish
and
I had
it was
started
actually
recording.
Really legit.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
We'll do that at the end. Yeah. Maybe so.
Something that could be edited out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's right. That's absolutely. Right. Of course.
We got Aaron and Darren. Well, Aaron, man, why are you here? Where's home for you right now?
Yeah, thanks for asking. Well, first of all, I'm here because there's been grace, and I was invited earlier and missed that. I got another chance, so praise God for that.
It's all right. We're glad you're here.
I'm so glad to be here. We live out in Sultan. Not a lot of people know where that is, or they've driven through it without
realizing,
or went to the bakery.
Yeah, or that, or the what is it? The reptile
which sells hamburgers. Yeah. Weirdly enough, like $2 hamburgers. The bakery does, which is so funny.
And they're outstanding.
And they're delicious.
They're so good. Their food is legit. Yeah. Saw Pete Carroll there one time.
No way.
Was he chewing gum?
You know what? No, he's
chewing. Spit it out before he ate the pastry.
He was chewing his food. He was going fishing, and it was just really brief. And I saw people talking to him. I was like, "Gosh, that looks like Pete Carroll." And sure enough,
it
was
amazing.
Also saw. I don't want to say
jaw strength, man.
Yeah, he was super
strong. Bite through a tree.
The stress of a football game needs to go somewhere.
That's true.
Goes into that chunk.
I feel
of
sorry
gum.
For that gum.
Oh, man,
he's 70, man. Yep. It blows my mind. But Mark Driscoll was out there one Sunday morning before
Sultan.
He went home to record. This was back when he was at Mars Hill, and they were doing many services, but he had the one that was recorded. And I go, what are you doing out here?
Sultan, Washington.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm out here because my son had a tournament in Wenatchee and I wanted to be there. And so I headed home in the morning. I'm like, you just got a breakfast sandwich that is as big as your head. And you got a big head, right? Yeah. He has a big head. And he said, yeah, I love this. I go, that's going to hit you later. And he goes, I'll already be done recording by the time it hits me. I'm like, the student figured all that out. And then sadly, he said, what are you doing out here? And I said, you don't remember me. We started churches at the same time because we are at Cascade Community Church, which is in Monroe.
Yeah.
And they planted us out in Sultan. And he says to me, "You planted a church out here?" And I said, "Yeah." And I kid you not, he said, "Why?"
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, "Because there's people that live out here. It's not the hub and all that." And look, you can say all you want about him and all of what went down, but there was a lot to that statement from him.
Hmm.
And I love him and miss him and hope good for him. But just to be that dismissive right there in somebody's hometown and everything, I was like, dang. Oof. So that's where we're at, Rex. We're out at Crosswater Community Church. We just celebrated 15 years on September 9th. Thank you.
And you were planted from Monroe. I mean, you went out from Cascade Community Church.
8 miles to the east.
That's so cool. I mean, what was, maybe let's start a little bit with your story.
Because
I want to hear a little bit about how that happened and stuff. Yeah. But like back up to your story.
Did you grow up here?
Yeah,
did you grow up in the area?
Yeah, good question. I grew up in Briar.
Okay.
So
I didn't know people were actually from Briar. It's funny.
They just end up there and they can't get out because the roads are so confusing.
I pass so by real. That place.
I lived in Bothell for like 4 years before I realized Briar was right next to where I live.
That's so funny.
Kenmore. Yeah. So shoot. I was born.
No offense to all of our listeners from Briar.
That's true.
We do have a couple. We have some imprint families live in Briar. So yeah.
Well, they passed by some really great churches on the way to yours. What's up? I know, seriously. I think about that. We have these people that come from Shoreline.
Oh, wow. All the way to Sultan.
That's like a really long way. That's an unbelievably long
begged
way.
Begged them to find some there.
I mean, it's one road, though. Like,
almost,
yeah,
right?
Almost, yeah. Exactly.
It's closed right now for part of the way.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. But yeah, I was born at the University of Washington. Raised mostly in Snohomish County, spent a little bit of time traveling some of the states while my birth father was in the Air Force, but I don't really remember those states. I remember a little bit of time in San Jose, California, and then by the time I was five, we were up in Washington and living here. And my mom and dad, my mom and birth father, got divorced when I was three, and there was a whole lot of mess there. And then my mom met somebody right around the time that I was almost 4 years old, and his name is Rick Day, and he adopted me when I was seven, and my brother when he was five, and I'm the oldest of four boys, and I met Jesus when I was 5 years old.
Where at? How?
This is amazing, you guys. I met him at Westgate Chapel in Edmonds, and went with my friend Jeff Umpervich, who was a pastor within all of our group of churches through Adventure and Adventure Everett and all that. I think I wasn't even 6 years old and somebody prophesied over me that I was going to be a pastor. And I had no clue what that meant.
As a five-year-old.
And it was my friend Jeff's grandmother. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, didn't know what it meant. And my parents didn't go. I really just went on Sundays and then sometimes midweek. And then we moved to Briar, and I finally had this kind of time of really recognizing that I loved God, and I would read my Bible and all that kind of stuff. And I went to this little church called Briar Community Church.
But your parents weren't taking you there at that point?
Not at all.
Just figured out how to get to church or knew somebody that took you to church?
Yeah, we got invited by some friends, and then so this is kind of funny, and this is real, and it's probably offensive. Everything's offensive to everybody, so I just apologize.
Okay. Here we go.
It's only recorded forever and ever, don't worry.
Oh, no trouble. So Nina Smith and her family lived in Briar, and she ended up being my, like, dearest friend, second mom, nanny, and her whole family is Black and from the South.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I was Black.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I fully did. I was 12 when I found out that I wasn't. And that was really hard for me to take. Like, seriously,
you thought of yourself as no different from them whatsoever. Like, you didn't have a concept of, like, white, Black?
Not really. I knew because my grandfather was a raging racist. And so I knew that he didn't like people for the colors that they were because it was different than our Scots-Irish blood. I just remember thinking just how foolish he was. I told my mom when I was six that, you know, there's all these different flowers, there's all these different cars that people like, but the very similar, just different colors, not kind of stuff. Why not with people? And she just said, because we're scared. And I just thought, I must be black, like on the inside, like where it really counts.
Because you aren't scared.
No, yeah. Right. And Nina just told me, she said, baby, you know you're white, right? And I'm like, yeah. I went home that night sobbing. Huh? Mom, Nina called me white. And she goes, I know, honey. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Right? Just so many things. But yeah, so she invited us also to Briar Community Church. And I just loved the Lord, but I was a chameleon. I did a whole lot during the week. I was, not only did I not know what color I was, I didn't really know who I was. And so impersonations, all kinds of different things. And I just, sadly, part of my story is that I was molested when I was 5, raped when I was 3. And so sexual stuff was just really, really vivid in my mind. And so
as that young and yeah, that age.
Yeah. And my dad was a cable guy, literally worked for Viacom Cablevision, and we had every channel and I watched everything. And I was the oldest of 4 boys, and our babysitting was watching everything. And so yeah, sports, all that kind of stuff was part of my upbringing. It was really normal and really dysfunctional and as loving as it could be. But to your point, Tom, my parents didn't really ever go to church with us, maybe twice in my whole childhood, but they would wake us up and send us to church. A little vicarious, but also they could do what they wanted to do while we were gone for 3 hours.
Yeah, it was babysitting.
Yeah, it was free babysitting too. And it was just across the street. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was so much there. And when I was in 8th grade, I had kind of come into my own as far as my body started to look less pudgy. Mm-hmm. See, it's funny because at 52, I look a lot like I did in 7th grade. but the beard.
You're Benjamin Buttoning right
now. Yeah, I'm not for real though. Oh my goodness. So yeah. But and I had hair then. But the thing was, girls started liking me, and I met this girl, Kathy, and we started dating in 8th grade. And the very first day we went together, we called it going together back then. I don't know.
Those days.
But yeah, so crazy. We talked about so much, too much, just no boundaries really on conversation. But we talked about, we're not going to have sex till we get married, you know, want to have at least 4 kids, all this kind of stuff. And her family had gone through a divorce. My family was maybe going to move. And there were so many things that were pitting us together, not against one another, but instead together. And 6 months later, she got pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're 8th grade sweethearts.
So both 14 at the time.
Yep. Yep. And so she turned 15 before our daughter was born. So yeah, but we were both 14 at the time when she was pregnant. And we had our daughter Genesis in the middle of our freshman year, and that was the beginning and the end for me at church, because I was a pretty good chameleon for a while. But when that happened, the cat was out of the bag.
Yeah, there was nothing, no need to keep up appearances or anything like that.
And I figured God was upset with me because I knew better. And I also figured if I didn't care as much about what God said, then I could do what I wanted to do. And I did.
You can quiet the voice, basically.
For sure. Or try to. And so it's funny you'd say that, because Rex, so often people say, hey, how do you hear the voice of God? And I'm like, there's a lot of things, right? There's a lot of things. The word of God, he's already written out what he said, right? Yeah, if you're wondering what he said, go there.
You can find it. Yeah,
yeah, you can find it.
A lot of translations.
Amen, right? And so listening to people talk about the Lord, praying, slowing down, going on hikes, all those things. But I will still say the reason why I know how to hear God's voice is because I know how to ignore it. And I know that a lot of us are that way. We put it off. And then people are like, well, what's God saying? I'm like, you've got to go back to
you're just not listening, or you're just intentionally trying to not hear it.
And that was me. That was me all the way through high school.
So did you guys stay, you and Kathy, I mean, you know, spoiler alert, you've been together for a long time now. So how did
32 years of marriage.
Yep. So how did that work out? Was she chameleoning in it?
Really,
too?
Really poorly. I did that really poorly. Yeah. She was Catholic and had really, her whole family had walked away from the faith. Her parents would say they didn't, but they got divorced, which is huge no-no in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, that's right.
And they both felt like we never really got divorced, but her father, and may God rest his soul, which I believe that he's with Jesus, I hope. Yeah. I don't get to be that judge, but everything I understand points towards that. But he had shipwrecked the family financially with some really bad choices, and they had to protect themselves or lose the house. Mm-hmm. And so they got divorced. But back to God's grace and his amazing kindness, our daughter was born when we were freshmen in high school. We couldn't take care of her financially. My family wasn't all in on that. And, you know, to be fair, I didn't let them in on it until my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, was in labor.
Oh, my gosh.
It was when my mom and dad found out that they were going to be grandparents.
Oh, my goodness. Man. Wow.
Yeah, it was rough. But all that to be said, Kathy's dad moved back. No relationship really with his ex-wife other than, you need my help financially, and I'm a little bit better than I was before. And he started to make a lot better decisions with some life-controlling issues that he had. Huh. But his God's kindness in that led her mom and dad to start dating and to remarry each other.
Wow. Whoa.
So amazing. Rad.
That is rad.
I'm so blessed by that. And all that to be said, Kathy had a good Catholic background, but it was very culturally Catholic. Mm-hmm. And we went through high school arguing, fighting, doing all the things that we were doing before. I started drinking. I really got to a spot where I was likely an alcoholic by just about any definition of
in
that.
High school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially by my senior year.
And who was raising your daughter?
Kathy, my wife was. So my girlfriend, her and her mom, and then her dad was helping financially.
Were you involved?
Yeah, I was there. I mean, my mom and dad, because my mom had me when she was 18, she wanted me to be a kid.
Yeah, totally.
Don't regret all of this. And I'm like, those are consequences now. But at the time, I'm like, yeah, mom, good idea. Yeah. I should probably do whatever I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she kind of let me do whatever I wanted. And, you know, it was a phenomenal case study on getting what you want and it wrecking your life. Oh, I mean, I was all over the map. I had got an STD, gave it to Kathy, let her believe that she had some kind of infection.
Like, tried to tell her, no, it's not.
Tried to disconceal me or something.
Yeah, it wasn't me. And she's like, well, I'm sorry. Then they think I have a cervical infection, and you also probably have something.
And so she's thinking she gave it to you or
totally.
Something like that.
Totally.
Oh,
she 100% thought that. And I let her, because that was my native tongue, lying, right? Yeah. And
here's the weird thing, though, Aaron. I mean, man, you had significant trauma as a child, too.
Yeah.
I mean, so mix up trauma with bad, sinful choices and sinful nature that you have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you have this mixture of like, you kind of had two strikes against you in so many ways.
Yeah.
It doesn't excuse things. It simply points out there was some significant things that you had to work through as a human being just to be healthy. And
it's true. Or to think I was healthy, right?
Yeah.
To have some kind of semblance for me at that point. But to get to health, I legitimately, freshman year of high school, we'll go back for a second, and I'm in this advanced placement English class. I was poorly placed in the advanced placement. But I was in there, somehow tested into it after eighth grade. Girlfriend's pregnant, end up having our baby. But I'm in this class, and we're doing a career assessment course. And so you guys probably remember some of that. They give you all these little tests, and they have people come in and talk about things, and you watch those stuff. It's about a 6-week process. And at the end, they tell you what you're, you know, most likely going to be good at.
Are you going to tell me that I said pastor?
Number one thing on the list was clergy. And it was, 5 years old.
Prophesied over.
Yeah. And then.
Which evidently Todd Arambini needed. I heard his podcast recently. He's like, no one wants me to be a pastor. He just needed someone to do that for him. Sorry. Yeah, you know Todd.
I love Todd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, wow, what does clergy mean? Mm. I had no clue. And this lady she's a lady now, but this girl says, hey, it's like a pastor or a minister or like a priest. And I'm like, what's number two on the list? Oh, look, physical therapist. You know, you'll be in like the medical field. And I'm like, yeah, if I don't make it playing baseball, spoiler alert, I didn't make it playing baseball.
I relate to that.
Oh, gosh, curveballs are tough.
Oh, yeah.
But I just remember like thinking, there's no way I would never be a pastor. I couldn't be that good, all these things. Huh. And so that, all of that, even through all the pain and the agony, all the lies, all of the trauma that I had done to me and then was doing to others and keeping all that going, I always knew that God was God. But I had lived a life where I was. And so my mom and dad, after I moved out, went to my grandparents' house because I had 1 year at Shoreline Community College. They started going to church. Well, all of them started going to church. My mom and dad started going to church. My brothers started going to church. My grandparents, who I lived with, started going to Edgewood Baptist. My mom and dad started going to North Shore Baptist. My grandparents, old people, got baptized. I'm like, that's weird. And they're like, you should come. I'm like, yeah, I got to work, right? You know, all these different things. My mom, you got to come to this class. It's so good. It's called Discovery. There's this pastor, Kevin Kavanaugh, preaching there, teaching there. And I'm like, mom, I've gone all the time. I invited you all the time. You never went with me. I get all of this. You told me one time, mom, you don't have to sit in church to be a Christian. And that won't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage will make you a car. Remember that, mom?
That's tight.
Right? Yeah. Until it isn't.
Truth bombs.
Moms dropping bombs. But she said, okay. She just kept asking. Finally, I was like, I'll go. But I don't want you to ask me again, please.
And how old were you?
I was 18. And I'm her firstborn and all these things, right? So I try to get out of it. I can't. Nobody will let me work for them. I'm finally like, okay, I'll go. We're in this class. 12 people. Kevin says, how many of you believe in God? All 12 of us raise our hand. How many of you believe you are God yourself? You're the God of the universe. Nobody raised their hand. And he says, that's the majority of the world, really, that believes that. And yet, how come the majority of the world, and in fact, all people at some point live like they are God and prefer their choices and their standards over God's? And I was mad, super convicted, super angry, told my mom afterwards, you set me up. I'm never coming back. I cussed at her. She cussed at me. Uh-huh. Oh, there you are, Peter. Right? I mean, she could totally 100% go right back to that. I'm like, okay, mom. Yeah, I'm going to walk home to Briar from Kenmore, or from Kirkland, Bothell. And then she's like, get in the car. So I did. 2 weeks later, I came back because I couldn't shake it. I'm not God, and I've been living like I am. And Kevin, father in the faith, he baptized Kathy and I and married us. And
was Kathy coming with you to North Shore at the time too then?
She started to. And so that whole chlamydia thing and all that that I talked about was part of God just saying, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. And you're not doing well at being the king of your life.
You can't control anymore.
Take the crown off. It don't fit. Don't wear it. I know the way, the truth, the life, and I'm going to share it.
He said he was going to work in some Christian rap into this, and there it is.
Nobody knew it was going to be my own. But yeah, you guys, that was legit. I don't remember. We were at a meal, and Kevin, if you ever listen to this, this is how you do meals. You ask people questions, and then you eat your food while they answer. And then you start to talk to them, Kevin, while they're eating their cold food. So thanks for that. But he did. He's like, what's keeping you from submitting to Jesus? And I said, just my pride and my fear and that I love to do things that mess me up. And he goes, those sound like some pretty lame reasons to stay away from the King of Kings, the Lord of your soul. And I'm like, yep. And so I gave my life to Jesus and I haven't sinned since. It's been amazing.
That's awesome. Good. Nice job. Well done. Yeah, it's perfect. Because that's what happens as soon as we become Christians.
Ta-da!
Nothing but green lights the whole way.
Okay, but you still have lots of complications because you're 18 years old.
You have a 3-year-old.
You have a 3-year-old, exactly. Oh,
nice.
And
I know math.
I couldn't do that. That was quick. That was amazing. Yeah, you have a 3-year-old. And what are you doing at the time? What are you working on? What's Kathy working on?
Yeah, so I was at Shoreline Community College.
Yeah.
I had gone through most of the, I guess, varying iterations of what am I going to be in that short 8 months or 6 months.
Do they have a seminary at Shoreland Community College? I'm not sure.
Not,
for the clergy.
Not even kind of for the clergy. Yeah, I was there because I was going to walk onto their baseball team and decided that's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm going to be a nurse. That's not going to happen. Then I was like, all right, this is how baseball can make its way back in. I will be a history teacher.
A coach.
And I'll coach.
Yeah, totally.
And so that's what I was going to do. And I came to Christ and I realized, look, I don't love school. I want to take care of my girlfriend. I want her to be my wife and I want to take care of my daughter. And so I started looking for jobs. I was working at Red Robin, which is where a lot of mess happened in my life.
Yum.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are we sponsored by them?
I don't know. Maybe.
We should be.
Let's get it.
I wish we were.
The Dirty Bird. But we had this neighbor who worked in the shipyard for a long, long time, and he invited me to apply there. And I was like, I've never worked really with my hands before. And he goes, you just have to put my name on the top of the application, and you're going to get in. And I'm like, okay. And that happened after I applied at my uncle's. Two of my uncles worked at this insurance company. One of them was a senior vice president, and I couldn't get hired there because I was so lame at typing, and I showed up super late. No, I showed up early to the other interview, had to go to the bathroom, ended up being 2 minutes late, and then told her, she's like, tell me about yourself. And I'm like, well, I just recently gave my life to Jesus, and my girlfriend and I, we're not having sex anymore, and we're waiting until we get married.
You know, this is your interview?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you asked. I mean, shoot. And that, so my uncle, when he called to say, look, you can't get hired there. Tell me you did not tell her that you stopped having sex. I'm like, she asked me about myself. And he's like, yeah, you like baseball. You've got three siblings.
Yeah.
You've got a wife-to-be, all that, but don't do that. And so I'm like, great, God, thanks. I'm trying to be honest and trying to share who you are with people. And I'm paying for it. You can fast forward. I get the job in the shipyard. Then I get laid off after 2 years. But that was like, I was making $11 an hour.
That's
in
big
1989.
Money back in
that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just dumb money. I was like, but we were doing smart stuff with it because we're like, oh, our money's not our own. First time ever in our lives we were thinking that way. And so I get laid off there, go to work for a coffee company, and my uncle's business, that insurance company, went bankrupt.
Oh, wow.
And like, within 3 years of when I would have been working there. And I'm like, okay, God, you didn't hate me. You loved me. And
yeah.
So I worked in the shipyard for 2 years, worked for AAA Coffee Service, distributing office coffee, Starbucks and all that kind of stuff. But just loving ministry. I was helping with that class at North Shore, the Discovery class. They were even letting me teach some of it. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't go to seminary. I didn't have any of that. I was being informally, formally trained. I think they call it discipleship.
Yeah.
And I was being poured into in some really significant ways. Jan Hedinga, Nate Hedinga came back from school and being a pastor and all that. And he said, hey, I'm going to plant a church. I had no clue what that meant. He's like, we're going to start a new church and it's going to be out in Monroe. I'm like, well, good luck. Sounds great for you, right? And he's like, no, I think I'd like you to be our youth guy, and you've got the spiritual gift of evangelism, and we want you to be kind of a spark plug with us. And I was like, gosh, I'll pray about it, but, you know, I'm taking care of my family. By that time, what I didn't say is that it took us a while to have our second child, like almost 3 years, and I figured that was the consequences of my sexual sin. And I thought, well, we'll keep working with youth ministry. Maybe we'll adopt, all that kind of stuff. Then God gave us our son, Zach. And then he gave us Michaela, Natalie, Tiana, Anessa, Josiah, Eliana, Tobias, Analia, and Nehemiah.
Wow.
And if you're keeping track.
How many is that?
That's 11.
11 Woo! Children. That is amazing.
Seven girls and four boys.
And how many grandchildren do you have right now then?
Five.
Five grandchildren.
I get to see them tonight, too.
That is amazing.
Come over and hang out a little bit.
Your son, actually, by the way, besides Rex, gave me the nickname Dare Bear at Winter Camp this last year. So
they independently both thought of that.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
I should know this guy.
Wow. He did it in front of the whole crowd. He holds up the mic. He's like, "This is Dare Bear." And he looks at me. I wasn't smiling. He's like, "I shouldn't have said that in front of everyone." I was like, "It's fine. I've heard it before.
It's fine. It's fine now.
It's fine now."
How old are you, Rex?
I'm 32.
Yeah, he's 30. Well, he'll be 30 November 30. Yeah. So
he's good. He's a good guy.
Love that boy. He is our youth and children's pastor.
I won't lie to you. When we're at that camp, I actually looked him in the eye and said, "Would you be willing to tell your dad that you're willing to quit his job, the job at his church, to come work for me?"
I appreciate that. Honestly.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. Yeah.
Even though you called me Dare Bear. Yeah.
And I know that Tom knows my son too, so that's why he said desperate times.
We like Zach. He's a
I
he's
love
a,
that boy
dude.
So much.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Yeah, yes. Totally.
So, gosh.
So, lots of kids.
There's so much, and I'm crazy about them. And
so, the ages are from what to what?
So, 37 down to 10. He'll be 11. Wow. Our baby will be 11 in October.
That's quite amazing. A spread, man.
That's amazing.
What kind of car do you drive, out of curiosity?
Whatever one's available.
A school bus.
We used to have two 15-passenger vans, but not at the same time. That'd be like, you have 30 kids? Hey, here's for more, right? Yeah, but nope. We got rear-ended a few years ago on Highway 2 by a man who was really intoxicated and wrecked our car.
So now
we have a Suburban.
There's a lot of intoxication on it, I think.
It's rough, especially during Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
Labor Day Friday is what it was.
Too bad.
So Nate is bugging you about going to Monroe with him. What ends up happening?
So he invites me to meet with him once a week in some discipleship. And you guys, look at my phone.
It's who is it?
Kevin Kavanaugh.
Whoa. How weird right now. When's the last time you talked to him?
It's been about three weeks.
Let's have him on. Tell his side of the story.
There's really no need for that, Tom. He's discipling me. Nate's like, "Look, I believe you can do this. Everybody believes that you can do this." I'm like, "I haven't been to school. Here I am now. We have, at this point, three kids. Our fourth is on the way." Mm. And he's like, we think that there's something of God's call and design on your life. We're not trying to have you go to school. We're going to pour into you and all this kind of stuff." And I finally was like, "Okay, I guess." Right? And this is 96. So we prayed a lot about it, and then right before we were going to leave, North Shore says, "Hey, we've seen God's work in your life, and we think that you should be our junior high youth pastor." And I'm like, "Oh, you mean at the church that I'm already at home in and that knows me and loves me and has called me out on stuff?" And I'm like, and a baby on the way, and Kathy and I prayed, and we were going through the Experiencing God study with Blackaby, and like, if you can control it and you can explain it, it may not always be bad, but it might not be God, all these different things. And we just like, we want to see God do something in Monroe of all places. I grew up in Briar, and Briar was podunk, but not compared to Monroe.
When Nate said he wanted to plant a church in Monroe, did you say why?
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't that strong.
Because there's people there. Yeah.
Come on,
preach.
Yeah, I kind of was like, Monroe, really? Like, what's happening? Oh, so many people moving out there, and I'm like, because they can afford it.
Yeah,
nobody wants to live there, right? And he's like, no, lots of people are, and so I got over myself pretty quick on that one, but. We lived in Mount Lake Terrace at that time, and we're bringing our daughter out to school there because we were going to move, and we had this long process of this loan and all these different things, and it all worked, and it was unbelievable, and it was costly. Our daughter she struggled for the first part of the year, just identity. She was a sixth grader.
Yeah.
Just started middle school.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
She would have been the top of the school in the Edmond School District too, because they get seventh, eighth, from middle school. And I just remember like, okay, God, just because you promised that you'd be with me doesn't mean you promise it's always going to go smooth as silk and white like milk. Another rap. but I just was like, I can't wait for... I can't wait for what God's going to do. Like, he, almost like I knew he owed me. And I remember him really, really straightforwardly saying to me in a time of prayer, and how do you know he's talking to you? How do you know it's his voice? It's that still small voice in my spirit, right? Just, I heard him say, I'm with you now. I'm doing it now. Don't do this for what you're going to get. Do this for me. Hmm. Do this to honor me and to glorify me, and watch me take care of you in ways that you could never imagine, like it says in Habakkuk, even if I told you in advance. And I'm like, okay, you know, and I totally did. And we, 6 months, I worked at Cascade bivocationally, so part-time, so to speak, there. We went from five kids in our youth ministry.
How many were yours?
Word, only one. The sixth grader, she put up with so much. But I remember one time we had this event, and I gave my daughter Genesis a hug and a kiss. And this lady, I could see her out of the corner of my eye. She was just all like, what are you doing? And so later on, Nate's like, hey, did you hug and kiss anybody other than Genesis? And I'm like, no. He goes, that's what I thought. This lady was freaked out and took her kids out of the building because the youth pastor is hugging and kissing kids. And then when I told her it was probably our youth pastor's kids, she wanted to leave even more because you shouldn't have a child.
13 years old.
I was like, dang. But yeah, so not anymore. I definitely look like I can be her dad now. But yeah, I just, it was beautiful. 6 months, our church exploded. We had a lot of reasons for that. All of it, God's grace. Nate probably told you guys, we had a church separate, and a bunch of them came to our church, and Nate sat 70 people down and just said, look, if you're going to throw rocks, if you're going to just make fun of people, you're going to make this your new place, go back, go back and deal with it, go somewhere else. I mean, he uninvited these people.
Yeah, I remember him saying that a couple weeks ago. He said, like, if you're feeling like angry, or if all you can do is talk about it, that's probably God telling you need to go back and fix it.
Amen. Yep. Yeah, so. And that was pretty wild. And so, but we saw it explode in growth, all of it. And 6 months in, they offered me full time.
Wow.
And I to this day, being called Pastor Aaron just seems so weird to me. Not because I don't love that mantle that God would give, or being a shepherd or all that, but I just, titles haven't ever been a real big deal to me. But that's just a humbling reminder that the pastor has said, I breathe life into you, I've given you new life, and I'm letting you lead. But be a lead follower, and that's really where I've had to be, in being married and having all these kids and grandkids, and then being in ministry reminds you that if you're going to lead, you got to follow first.
I was going to ask you a question about your family. Like, was that an intentional choice to have that many kids? You know,
gosh, such a good question, Tom. We had, Kathy comes from a family of six, and I come from a family of four. And when we talked way back in eighth grade, right, we were like, maybe four kids. And then when we got married, we wanted to have like at least four kids and couldn't because of whatever. And I believe that God is the one that opens and shuts a womb, but we can debate that on another occasion. But we got to a spot where we kept getting pregnant, and people joke, hey, do you know what causes that and all that? But yeah, man, we decided in prayerful consideration that God is the one that's blessing us with these children, and who of these children aren't a blessing? Probably dependent on the day sometimes. It doesn't feel like a blessing, but we legit were like, we saw all these people that were really rambunctious and extra adventurous with their faith. But when it came to children, they're like, nah, two's good, three's good, maybe four, but we're not going to do that. We can't afford this. And my mental health and all those things, and all those things are legitimately need to be in consideration. And God gives us this choice and all that. But we did. And we went back and forth sometimes on who, like, I just, full disclosure, we had talked about the potential of being abstinent for like 6 months, just to really together commit to the Lord. Like, I'm going to pray about this. What do you want us to do with kids? But she couldn't keep her hands off me. So
that. I'm sure that's how it went down.
That's exactly
Thanks
how
for
it
your
happened.
Honesty. Yeah.
You forgot humility.
Yeah. Okay. You once told me, and in the spirit of these full disclosure thing, because I can tell you don't mind sharing a little bit about yourself. I once asked you why you chose to have so many kids, and you looked at me. Well, Jan Hedigan once told me that if I found something I was good at, just to keep doing it.
Legit. I barely knew you when you told me that. But you know what? You, of course, are on our podcast telling our millions of listeners all these stories, too.
Well, and he had heard somebody say that to him way back, like, because he had I think it was in Michigan where he had a guy with tons of kids, and he told him that. And I was
so you kind of adopted it?
Well, he told me that, too. He goes, huh? Like that. And his deeper than God voice,
yes,
right? And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's so good. Write that down.
Yeah, totally. Well, you used it years later on me, and it was memorable, man. It's stuck in
it's
there.
So good. Oh, well, and that, so like people will say, don't you know what causes that, or figured out what causes that, and they think that's the first time I've heard it, mm-hmm. right? And so mostly it was like old enough to be my mom women, right, that would say, have you figured out what causes that yet? And I used to say, it's the grace of God, blessings, all this. And then I realized, these people are trying to mess with me. And so I said, I have figured out what causes it. I'm not willing to give it up.
I've heard that response too. Yeah.
They freak out, Tom. I'm like, you brought up my sex life and now I say something. You know,
but this one's on
this
you.
This is your fault.
Yeah. So, this is on you.
Like a real man. I put it back. No, but seriously, to really answer your question, we debated it and cried and fasted over, do we have more children and do we try for more children and all of that. And we had, so it went Genesis, Zachary, and then in order, Michaela, Natalie, Tiana, and Anessa.
A lot of girls.
Yes, like four in a row. Mm-hmm. And then people are, oh, you're trying to have a boy. And I'm like, we just actually believe that children are a blessing. Mm-hmm. Psalm 127. Mm-hmm. Like this one for me is like, talks about, you know, building the house and watching the watchman on the wall and all that. But if you're not doing this for the Lord, it's in vain. Then he doesn't accidentally transition into children mm-hmm. and children being a blessing. And then Psalm 128, marriage and all that. I was like, God, you actually care about all of this. And so I want what you want for me. And it's been really, really amazing and super challenging. And ask any number of my kids, because there's a number of them. You could ask any of them what it's been like. And it's been tough. It's been challenging.
Sure.
The world doesn't revolve around me, and I wish it did. You know, all these kind of things and all the lessons. And I'm not going to lie, we've had some adult children wander from the faith, and I've never had any more pain than that. Mm-hmm. But I've never had any more joy than to watch repentance happen too. And that's not happened for all of them. But I'm looking forward to that and excited about that. But God never promised that they wouldn't go away. He never promised that it would all be easier, that we would afford everything. And we haven't been able to, but we've had so much grace, so much kindness, so many great lessons. And like that whole quivers full kind of thing, right? Everybody's like, oh yeah, you're a warrior. You don't want to go into battle with 3 arrows or 2 arrows. Okay, maybe that exegesis is weak a little bit, but what isn't weak is, what do you do with arrows? They don't stay in the quiver. You aim and you shoot. Mm. And some of that has been really, really painful.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also really beautiful.
Yeah. Well, funny things. I think of one thing is that you will probably be cared for as you and Kathy get older with that many children. There's bound to be one of them that might be like, oh,
the
I'll
odds
take,
are good.
I'll take care
enough.
Of you. Yeah. 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 With that. But then the other thing, I found that's it funny. Didn't your wife, Kathy, and your oldest daughter have a child at the same time?
Very, very close.
That's so amazing.
Which is so funny and amazing.
The bride too?
I think so, yeah.
I watched that not too long ago, Tom, and just cried.
You got triggered.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we did our son Nehemiah was born 6 months before his nephew Reed was born.
That's amazing.
And he's got a niece who's 3 years older than him.
Yep. That is so cool.
And it's so beautiful. And yeah, that's really funny. And that Genesis, our oldest, didn't think it was that funny.
I bet.
Didn't think it was very funny that her mom was pregnant at her wedding.
She's like, this is my time. Mm-hmm. This is my thing.
Oh, yeah. And like her senior year, where her little brother Josiah was born right before the senior year kicked off.
Oh, my gosh.
Her whole life has been, I didn't choose this. I'm like, well, you were chosen into a family, and this is part of your story.
So Cascade, you're at Cascade for how long before you planted this church, Crosswater? What tell us the story of that.
So we started Cascade in 97, and then like literally about 10 and a half years later, we went out to Sultan to start Crosswater.
How did that start? I mean, I know Nate like talks to someone at the grocery aisle, finds out they're a Christian and convinces them to plant a church. But like, how did that happen for you? What was that change in, in calling or that calling turned into?
Yeah. So quite honestly, I was content to be the youth pastor and to be part of the whole team. And I had gotten on the elder board and all these things. I just was having this weird itch to help Cascade be more mindful of lost people. Mm. We'd started to be a bit ingrown, and Nate would tell you about that and the whole inside out and giving away what you've been given. And I was like, I think I'm supposed to help us be more mindful in that way. And I don't know if we want to like share those responsibilities as far as help with not only evangelism, like it's taking vitamins, but like lifestyle evangelism, intentionally sharing the gospel, whether it's door to door or relational, all these things. And so I was talking to them and they're like, yeah, we think that that's probably good. We probably transition you out of youth. And that felt like losing a child, honestly. And so many, not that I have, and I hope I never do. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this back to the whole kids. We figured, look, we have 11 kids. If all of them take care of us for 1 month,
You only have to fend for yourself one month.
For 1 month,
I know.
Bro.
To my point. I'm just saying. I get it. Yeah.
Dude, what a great idea. But, and we've thought about it, and there's Bible for it. go to all the tribes. Look, man. There was a time when Solomon.
So you're the Levites in this story, is what you're saying. Is that what's going on here? I see. All the tribes are bringing stuff to you. I see how that is.
We're the self-appointed ones. Anyway.
We're the self-appointed ones. So, yeah, we decided we're going to transition you into that. And so we started to do an alpha class. And I was like, Nikki Gumbel's really, actually, I think is anointed, great teacher, all that. Don't love all of his theology. So I was like, maybe I could teach this. Hmm. And so we did kind of this live alpha, and we had worship, and we had a meal, and nobody knew this was a church. We didn't even think about it. It was just like, cool.
You're meeting in Cascade at that point.
Yeah, on Sunday nights. It was a church within a church, and it exploded. And tons of people come to the Lord, lots of people getting set free from lots of things. And I didn't know, and Nate was getting his doctorate. And I was doing a little more teaching in the big church, but mostly just helping people. Alpha was kind of the main focus, but a lot of counseling, a lot of discipleship. And I had no clue I was getting prepped to be a church planter at all. I'd been asked by an AG church if I wanted to come and candidate. And I'm like, I'm not there on the whole AG thing, like all of it. Some of it I love. There are brothers and sisters, but there's some things that I couldn't get with. And they're like, well, what'd you think about it? And I told Nate and Kirk that I was thinking about that. And they're like, whoa, what? And I thought it was the AG thing. They're like, you're not going anywhere. And so we had like this weird tension. And I was like, okay, I really don't think I'm supposed to go. We'll stay here. And then they start talking about starting a church in Sultan. Hmm. And Sultan is a beautiful and super dark place.
Yeah, it feels really broken to me. I spent some time in Sultan. I think of that. It feels very,
it really is. I mean, here's the one thing that I knew, Darren, about Monroe and Sultan, and then later understood about Gold Bar and even further up. There's less affluence in those places to the east, and so there's less draperies. Mm. There's wide open mess.
People are real. Yeah.
And there's a certain authenticity to it that is almost endearing. But like they're far more inclined to hear that sin sucks and Jesus saves. Mm-hmm. Like they were ready for that.
And they kind of knew it, I bet.
Yeah.
They felt it.
Yeah. And then a lot of them thought that they can't get past it. So Cascade's like, look, we think we want to go out there. I'm like, great idea. Let's train some people up, send them out. So good. And I'm reading this stupid book by a guy named Erwin McManus.
Unstoppable Force, by any chance?
No, but yes, I read that earlier, but it was The Barbarian Way. And it just stumped me. He tells a story about Dathan, 6'3", great looking kid. Stud football player. He's going to try out for some teams. If he doesn't make that, then he's going to be an actor or, you know, a model. But Jesus cuts in and he comes to Christ and they're like, hey, we do baptisms. And he's like, cool, where's that at? Like a pool? Here we are, right? In Southern California? No, we go out to the beach. We're in Southern California. He goes, I can't do it. Why? Because I'm afraid. Oh, you don't know how to swim? No, I know how to swim. It's like, well, what's going on? He's like, when I was little, a friend of mine on the East Coast got attacked by sharks, and I can't do it. And so Erwin McManus, to summarize all of it, says, you have just been saved by the Most High God. There's nothing he can't do. He'll protect you from that. Or if you get attacked, it was your time. And the guy goes, that doesn't comfort me, right?
Not like, helpful.
They're right, not helpful. But he's like, look, trust God. If you can trust him to save you, you can trust him to keep you. He hasn't even held back his son for you, as it says in Romans 8. And so I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then stupid McManus asks, what are the sharks in your life? Mm. And I'm like, it's Sultan. Mm. We're talking about planting this church, and I know that I'm supposed to be a part of it. I didn't think I was going to lead it or any of that. Just be part of it. And so I go in, my wife is giving our daughter a bath. And I go, you're just not going to believe this. She goes, what? And I'm like, I'm reading this book. And told her the story. And I said, I think we're supposed to go to Sultan. She just starts laughing at me, which is not uncommon.
Super helpful.
Right. Also really helpful. I'm like, what are you laughing about? She goes, I heard from the Lord a month ago that we were supposed to go. But I put out the fleece of hearing from you. And not me manipulating it at all. And I just was like, well, so what do we do? And we prayed and cried a little bit. And then I told Nate and Kirk, and they weren't all that pleased.
Really? Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
It was rough. And so went and got.
Because you were doing something great at Cascade at that point.
It sounds like it was just exploding.
Is that why they didn't think that's why they weren't excited? Because they didn't want to lose you on the team there?
I think so, honestly. And we've talked about it in the past. Well, we have talked about it in the past. But even just recently, I was talking to Kirk about it. And he's like, yeah, but you had said you weren't going to go to this other church in Everett. So we thought that meant you weren't
going anywhere.
Oh,
you're sticking around. Yeah, totally.
And I was like, I thought so too. But like, look, shared all this. Great story how it ends, but Nate and I were getting cranky with each other. We were kind of preemptive strike almost. Let's just push and maybe make it easier to leave, because very, very dear friends and have been through a whole lot together. And I was like one of those few people that could be just annoying in his life and he'd receive it. Like,
your brothers, basically.
Very much so.
Yeah. What's interesting, I literally just listened to, I wasn't here for Nate's. I was catching up on our own podcast, and I listened to it the last 2 days, and I finished it yesterday.
Nate's story.
And he said that every time they sent people out, it was the sense of like, yes, multiplication and church planting, this is what we want to do. But there was also a sense of loss and even betrayal in letting people go, which I thought was a really strong word to use. He'd be like blessing them and going out, and you're the heroes, and it hurts them.
It does.
Well, and loss expresses itself as anger in certain personalities, right? You know,
absolutely.
So, like, if that was happening, that tension between you guys where you're kind of butting heads a little bit, that's probably a sense of like genuine loss. Like, I'm losing my buddy Aaron.
Yeah. And I felt
this ministry together.
Yeah. And I was, and again, when I say that I was able to speak, he had lots of people speak into his life. He's got a literal physical brother, Jeremy. And so I didn't think of myself in any special role. I'm just saying we were tight, you know, bros, like you said. And so it was that. You know, I think anger is always a secondary emotion. Mm-hmm. It's usually fear or pride that feeds that, right?
Yeah.
And we both had a lot of that going on. And it was beautiful to come back around, and we both recognized it. And without a doubt, I know that he was the first one to come and just say, look, I was wrong with that. I don't want to see you go, but I love it. you know, he's a church planter, and so he feels all that and all that excitement and remembers our stories. And but, you know, like, if you're going to give something, as David said, it better cost you something, right? And Nate knew that and believed that, and so did I. But now it was actually costing us something significant. And they gave us a ton of people and a ton of money. Now, in his mind, is way more people and way more money.
He said that you would say that.
He said, ask Aaron. I'm sure Aaron will have a different story. Well,
he actually said, however many people Aaron says went with him, it was way more.
Yeah,
it was what he said. Something like
that. Sounds like you might need to have a conversation with
him. No, that's fair. Because all those people stayed. Nope. A bunch of them went back.
This one lady
said, I was going to go, but I knew that Aaron was going to shipwreck it really quickly.
Oh my, that is some confidence right there.
Wow.
Dude, so we had this guy that was part of the team that was like just a huge part of the team. And 6 months later, he's back at Cascade. We had some people that were called SWAT. You guys are familiar with that phrase servants, willing and temporary.
Temporary, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
That were there for 13 and a half years. Wow. So it's like, it's people are like, how did this happen? How'd that happen? A lot of times I just don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, like, we're fix our eyes on Jesus, tell the truth, see what happens. How does anything grow?
Yeah.
We plant, we water, God makes it grow, but he goes, oh, by the way, he who plants and he who waters is nothing.
Yeah.
It's just me.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that gave you the seed. I'm the one that gave you the water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been so real. We're intentional and we make decisions, and COVID has done a number on all of us.
Yeah.
And God is still in charge and he's still making things grow. It's just been beautiful.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
I was expecting a rap somewhere in there that didn't come out.
It didn't show up. But what we'll
go back.
I was fighting lyrics in my head. Okay, I kid you not. Listen.
You just gave him permission, Tom, to do it again.
There's always permission.
See?
There it is. So
that was only one person, by the way.
Before the beat drops.
There was no Rex and Darren and Tom in that at all.
Before the beat drops.
What was it? What was the I know, I mean, obviously the goal of any church is to like make and multiply disciples of Jesus wherever they are, like reach the lost.
Yes.
And grow the church. What was sort of your vision in planting in Sultan? You know, you know, you had heard about, like, you talked about the hurt that was there the sense of like dereliction or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going in thinking it was going to look like?
We went in knowing that this little community, 5,000 people in Sultan proper, just get even in a, if you go 10 mile radius, you're getting into Monroe and even parts of Snohomish and unincorporated Snohomish County. There's a lot of people, but in just that little area, like you said, Rex, just a lot of pain, a lot of agony. And we were like, they don't need another church. And we weren't coming to be the next big church or the next thing. We were trying to be a part of what God was doing, because we believe, like I told Mark Driscoll, that God loves those people and he wants those people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we were like, look, to get out from where we were comfortable and enjoying ministry, and it was painful and difficult there as well, but where we were home in Monroe, literally would have to cross a bridge eventually to get into Sultan. And we're like, gosh, crossing a bridge, going to people, and we're like, yeah, that's cool. And we're just praying about names of church and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, look, what we've learned at Cascade and what we all learned at North Shore before that, and what North Shore learned from Elam and all the different things, right? Was that you've got to get outside of yourself. You've got to give away what you have. Disciples that make disciples that make disciples. And so our idea on that isn't anything new. We're like, look, from the greatest commandment and the Great Commission, love God and love others. And what we had learned was the next thing is serve generously, because you've been given so much. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I just learned that and believe that. And so that's what we did. And I'm driving in Woodinville, coming home, and I look up and I see this little sign that became a huge sign eventually, but this little sign that said Crosswater and was talking about a development or something.
Oh.
And I'm like, that's it. Crosswater, you have to cross the water from where we were at in Monroe to get into Sultan. And then we'd cross another bridge to get to these homeless people. It was a huge homeless population in Sultan. Not nearly as big now, but there was then. There was literally people living in what they call the sticker patches. Mm. I'm like, these are human beings. These are image bearers of the Most High God, and they don't know. Or if they did know about Jesus, people forgot to tell them some more. People forgot to go to them. And so we're like, look, we are not the bridge to the Most High God. That is Jesus and him alone. John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through me. But we are the bridge to Jesus. So cross the water. Keep crossing water. That's cool. Anytime in the Bible where water is being crossed, it's miraculous and powerful, and it's all God. And so we're like, yeah. And so that's what we wanted to do. Cool, and we're still trying to do that. I literally was going to get T-shirts that said, cross water, serving the hell out of Sultan.
That would have been so effective.
I like it a lot.
There it would have. I mean, gosh.
Aaron, this has turned into one of my favorite podcasts.
talk about an evangelism explosion if you got those
dude,
shirts.
So instead, what won out was probably a little, you know, the better part of valor is thinking through things, right? And so we had the shirts that said, do you know how much on the front and on the back said Jesus loves you. Sure. So we wore those, served, did a bunch of different things in the community before we even really got started. And these people are like, oh, okay. But we're like, we're not going away. We couldn't get into a building. We tried to get into the elementary, had a deal, not a contract, but a deal. And there was a new...
It's a backwards handshake in Sultan.
For word. Yeah. That's how it was. And they were... We agreed and we're going to sign all this. But then the principal's like, uh-uh. I'm new and I don't want a church in here. And then I have to deal with the rooms needing to be cleaned on Monday and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, well, what are we going to do? And then the Boys and Girls Club that had an outdoor basketball court and said, well, you could use this until you figure something out. And we're like, gosh, thank you so much. We're outside in July. And we're playing this music outside and having a service. There's, I don't know. There's Ask Nate. We had 500 people that he sent with us. So loud. But we're out there, and people start coming from the little community. They're just like, oh, what's going on? We had like three families just show up because they heard the music, right? And we're like, cool. And we had church there for a month. And then the high school, which had hosted a church plant, and it didn't go well. Hmm. For the church plant or the school or the community, they're like, okay, you can come in here. And we were there for 9 years.
Wow.
And we served so much in there because we loved them. And we're like, look, Christians don't love public school, and there's lots of reasons why. But public school doesn't love Christians, and there's lots of reasons why. So instead of throwing rocks, we're going to be part of it. Now, not all of our kids are going to go in the public school, but we're going to serve you, and we're going to love you. And we did meals. We still do meals. We just had one. We got Chick-fil-A and gave it to all the school district employees. Come and get it. We love you. Jesus loves you. Have a great year. We're praying for you. All these things. It's just genuine for us. We really mean it. It isn't just like, look, hopefully we'll be able to tell you the truth. We're going to show you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth. And coached football for 10 years at the high school. Baseball for 7 years, finally got to coach in baseball.
Nice. Yeah. But your church has also opened up your doors recently to the Bull Creek Fire, right? I mean, this has been like a big part. Didn't you actually let people come in and find shelter who were being evacuated there?
Yeah.
And I saw you in the news. I mean, that's generous, gosh. That's serving generosity.
He was rapping.
Yeah, right. I still haven't seen that. Praise God. I'm not going to watch it either. But they're like, can we interview you? I'm like, please tell me what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I'm not just going to say, look at us. You know, and like, we want people to know that there's people helping. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And that's to that tune, right? We have been served. We can never outserve God.
That's cool, man.
But we don't just want to serve them. We want, like Jesus, I love this. He is always going to be the reason why we do whatever we do.
Yeah.
He's got this house full of people, however big the house is. The houses weren't big like ours are, right?
Yeah.
So everybody's there. Friends bring the friend that's a paralytic, can't get him in. Dig a hole, drop him down. Jesus is going, look at this mess.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Come down here and clean it up. He says to him, your sins are forgiven. Look, that's not the reason why we could all understand that he was dropped down there. They wanted their paralyzed friend to feel better. And Jesus is like, let me go straight to the source of the problem.
Let's go to it.
And so that's what we ultimately want to do. A bunch of that stuff is window dressing, but we're serving because we want people to know the King. We want people not just to recognize him and acknowledge him, but to be set free.
It's cool.
And we continue to do that. And it fell into our lap. I'm sitting there on a Saturday. This lady goes, you see all the ash? And we had our men's breakfast. I wasn't thinking in the morning. Yeah, you know what we need to do? We need to open up our I'm just like, it was a done deal. As soon as I found out that people were being displaced, I was like, we're not a shelter and there's all kinds of liability, but if you guys need a place to stay. And it took till 3 before someone even showed up.
Wow. Yeah.
And then we had like 5 people, 6 people come and stay with us.
Yeah.
And some dogs and cats.
That's awesome.
Super cool.
Yeah. That was rad. And we had so much help from churches. Cascade gave us, they lent us cots and sleeping bags and you and lots of other people.
Yeah, I reached out, but you guys were being served by so many people. Like,
it was so
when I saw you in the news, I was like, dude, I need to reach out to Aaron and see if you guys need anything. And you're like, dude, the church is already helping us. We don't need anything.
It was
like, that's
so
amazing.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
How about this? My neighbor across the street, don't know where he's at with the Lord. I mean, I could tell you where I think he is and all the conversations we've had. Doesn't go to church, doesn't want to. He's a little bit bummed out that people park in front of his house and stuff.
Sure.
But he comes over and he goes, hey, do you guys need some sleeping bags? I heard you having people come. I'm like, yeah, bro, we could really use that.
That's cool.
So I saw him yesterday. I said, you want those sleeping bags back? We washed them and everything. He goes, will you use them again? And I'm like, yeah, we will. And he says, keep them.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I said, man, we've been loved by Jesus. We just want to love people. He goes, okay.
Anywho, and I'll see you later.
Big gulps, huh?
I was about to say that, man. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man.
Love a good reference.
Well, dude, I think we should probably wrap
up. Yeah, we do need to wrap up.
Because I think we could go for hours. Where Aaron is, there is no lack of words.
That yeah, that's what he said.
Right before our podcast or at the beginning of it or something.
Yeah, let me ask you this. Yeah. We've been encouraging people as soon as the podcast is over. You got a little cool blurred music. It might be beatboxing this time.
No, it can't be. You got to do hip hop for this one.
Okay, I'll see what I can do.
Don't forget, we need hip hop.
We'll do that. But
for the sake of
what we've been asking people to do is to pray for the pastor that was here and then the church as well. So, man, how can we pray for you and your family?
You.
And then how can we pray for Crosswater now?
I appreciate it. So me and my family, we've got a lot going on right now. My wife's uncle just passed. And a number of those folks are grieving, obviously, so much. Mm-hmm. So to find hope and peace in Jesus, to come to Jesus, because a number of her family doesn't know the Lord. And then her brother just was diagnosed with cancer. So my brother-in-law, and he's beautiful, wonderful man. He's definitely got a great heart. He is a God-fearer. I don't believe that he knows the King yet. So please pray for Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then Kathy's leaving tomorrow for St. Louis, and there's just a lot of upheaval, and we have a lot going on around our community and in our church.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the thing to be praying for our church, please, is our worship pastor left, and we've got some people that are stepping in on a rotation, and we want to do what's right with that. We want to have somebody be a part of the team that is who God wants and not just somebody who has a pulse or somebody who's pretty good at the guitar or whatever. And it's hard. It's been really hard, especially COVID. Worship and tech have taken it on the chin in churches and people are like, no, we're good. We're done with that now. And so I think the church is being refined. I think the church is being not just the church capital C.
But the little
Crosswater one. Yeah. We've got a lot of things that God is like, do you really believe that you love God and love others and serve generously? What's it going to look like? Are you going to church plant after 15 years? We've been a part of financially investing. We've coached some people, all those kind of things, but all that stuff. So Rex, that would be it. I would ask your listeners, all 300,000 of them.
Yeah. 300 million.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm sorry. I got the zero.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. But all of you guys, if you would pray for that, for all the churches, keep the main thing, the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So. That's
which
our
is
hope.
Jesus, by
it
the
is.
Way.
Yes, it That's is right. Jesus. Yeah, just so we could say that explicitly.
Yeah, thanks for your long-term friendship and partnership. It's
guys,
super cool.
So
like
much, all of
there's,
you.
It's funny here in the red threads of connection between all the churches that we've had. Like even the fact that we've had Nate on here, and we've talked about some of the things that we've been able to partner with in the past has been kind of a cool thing. So it's like it feels like it comes full circle to finally we get to hear about Crosswater now because Nate told us about it a little bit ago, but now we get to hear your short story
Thank you.
And celebrate that. Like we genuinely view you as a.
It's so cool to hear the stories that God's grace in people's lives.
I love it.
God's grace and kindness. It's all over your life.
He's
man.
So kind.
All the time. It is in mine. And just like you guys said, remembering that we're part of each other's stories in many ways. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for sharing, Aaron.
All right, Imprint Church, as soon as whatever music shows up here is over, don't forget, stop and pray for Aaron, pray for Crosswater, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.